Hey, good morning, Edge Church. How are you doing this morning? Hey, it's great to see you. Hey, let's start off our time this morning with a word of prayer for the people of Connecticut. Let's just bow together. Lord, today we have been shocked and concerned about all of the things going on in this shooting incident on Friday. Lord, we pray for hope and healing in that community. We pray that the families that have gone through loss, that you would just be with them, give them strength. We pray that the churches in the area would draw together to minister to that community in a powerful way. And Lord, we're just reminded that we need you, Lord, so much in times like this when we see the pain and the hardships and, Lord, the violence and the other things in our world. We just are reminded, God, how much people need Christ. And people need your word. And so, Lord, help us to continue to pray for these folks that are hurting today and to also continue to bring the light of the gospel in order that lives can be changed. We pray this all in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. Do you guys like my fuzzy microphone? I feel like I'm ready to preach this morning.
Look at that.
Is that cool or what, man? I feel like I'm from the 70s. Yeah. Well, about 1:30 in the morning, the phone rang, and on the other line was one of my staff members, and he said, "Ryan, we have a huge problem. One of our university students has been struggling with an eating disorder, and she told one of her girlfriends that she was thinking about taking her life, and we need to get involved. We need to help." And I was asleep and, you know, trying to get my thoughts together, trying to wake up, trying to figure out what was going on. So I got dressed. I went over to this college student's house down the street from where we lived and met some of my staff members there and tried to kind of figure out, well, what was going on. And the girl was embarrassed. You know, she didn't think that her friend would call us and tell us what was going on. She said she was just kind of joking. But you know what? That's never something to joke about, is it? And the truth was she really had a deep problem and we wanted to help. And so in the course of the conversation, I said, "I love you too much to let you stay where you are. We need to get you some help to help you get through some of these, you know, thoughts and some of these struggles and hardships that you're really going through." And I did something that really upset her. I told her, I said, "I feel like that I really have to call your parents. You know, you're 20 years old. And if I had a 20-year-old daughter that was going through that, I would want to know. And if you're thinking, if you're making jokes about just ending your life, you know, your parents need to be involved." So I got on the phone, called her folks. They were freaking out in the middle of the night, as you could imagine. Drove all night to get to the university, 3 hours. And there she began to find hope and healing. And an amazing thing happened. The church surrounded her, began to encourage her. The Christian counselor began to help. And also her parents and her family began to support her. And, you know, several years later, she came over and knocked on our door and told us how much she loved and appreciated all that we had done for her. She gave Gina a huge hug and just was so appreciative. And now today, she has just seems like a totally different person. God has done amazing things in her life, has liberated her from so many of these feelings and emotions she was struggling with previously. She's married. She has a couple of wonderful kids. And has been a tremendous supporter of the Edge Church. In fact, she and her husband have made some significant contributions to the church over the last few years to help us get this thing started. And honestly, I wasn't sure if she would ever speak to me again, you know, that night when I had to say some tough things to her. But in her heart, she really appreciated the love and the support. And you know, sometimes as a follower of Jesus Christ, God gives us the challenge, the opportunity to say difficult things to hurting people. Let me say that again. God gives us the opportunity to say difficult things to hurting people. And God gives us a responsibility and an opportunity to reach out and to bless people, to challenge them, to help them through some of the most adverse situations that one could imagine. That's what Paul was speaking of in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The scripture says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We've been in this Christmas series called Whoville. We've been talking about enlarging our hearts. We've been looking at the one another's of Scripture. We talked about encourage one another, and next week we're going to talk about love one another. And this week we're talking about bear one another's burdens. I was going to call this Who You Holdin', but I didn't want it to sound like a country song, you know? So we called it Who You Holdin' Up, but Who You Holdin' is what you could call it, I guess. And by the way, I hope you're going to be here next Sunday for the 23rd. We're going to be having Christmas Eve services on the 23rd and 24th. They're different services. One is a candlelighting service. One is a communion service. We're going to have services at 9 and 10 o'clock on Sunday, and then 4 o'clock on 9 and 10:30. Okay, I'm getting a weird look here. Okay, I don't want to confuse matters. Let me say this again for myself. I need to be here, right? 9 and 10:30 on Sunday, 4 o'clock on Monday. Okay, does that make sense? So there's no 11:30 service. So if you're part of the 11:30 crowd, we love you. God bless you. We're going to rock it out in January. But next Sunday and the 30th, we're not going to have the 11:30 service, okay? We'll have one service at 10:15 on the 30th. All that's on your worship folder, and I don't want to get into all that. But just all I'm saying is pay attention. Don't forget what's going on. Look at the internet, look at your worship folder, and you'll be there. And I hope you're not just going to be here, but I hope you're going to bring some friends, because there's somebody that hasn't gone to church all year that would love to come on Christmas Eve, and you have a friend, and I hope you'll invite them to be here. Okay, enough said about that. The Scripture tells us who you're holding, okay? And the Bible tells us, first of all, be helpful. Notice what it says here, be helpful. If someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently. The word restore in the language of the New Testament means to reset, like a doctor sets a broken bone. How many of us have ever had a broken bone before? Okay, yeah, several of us. I remember as a kid, my brother broke his arm, and the bone was sticking up out of the skin. It was disgusting. He fell off a retaining wall and tried to catch himself. And the doctor had to go in and reset the bone. And when he reset it, then that's when healing could take place, right? If the bone's all, you know, sticking out and mangled and whatever else, you got a big problem. When the bone mends, then healing can take place. When we are involved in the healing process of helping broken, damaged lives, we are restoring and putting back together that which is broken. That's the word. That's the image that's being used here in Galatians 6:1. But a lot of times what we do is not helpful. Sometimes when we find out people are struggling, we can be kind of judgmental, can't we? You know, let me take score. Sometimes we get out a notepad, you know, let me write down all their sins, you know, that kind of thing. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying that we should not be judgmental, but we should be helpful. Okay? We should be helpful, not judgmental. And sometimes we just want to ignore everything that's going on. You know? We are a lot more comfortable just kind of saying, well, it's none of my business. And, you know, people are people, and boys will be boys, and people do their own thing. And so I'm just going to kind of stay over here. And in the meantime, people can be destroying their families and their marriages and their lives and so many other things, and we just don't want to be involved. But the Scripture says you who are spiritual should get involved and restore. That's part of walking with God. That's part of being a mature person of faith, is that we help people in times of need. Sometimes we have to say difficult things, like what I had to say to my college student, I'm going to call your parents, you know. But you know what? When that begins to occur, then healing begins to take place. So we need to be helpful. Are you being helpful? God's put somebody in your life that's struggling right now, and the Holy Spirit is putting that on your heart to reach out to them and encourage them in some way. Some of you today in this room, you may be struggling today. And I hope that this message today will be a time of hope and healing for you, and will give you some practical steps to begin to move past, because we live in a tough world, don't we? But we don't want to shoot the wounded. We don't want to bring friendly fire on people that are hurting. Paul was a burden bearer. Everywhere Paul went, he was bearing burdens. He was raising money for struggling churches. He was helping people work out interpersonal relationships. He was bearing that burden. He was correcting people that had theological beliefs that were not right. Paul was bearing the burden, man, and the struggle. And we need to be doing the same thing. Now, I believe bearing one another's burdens, being helpful, restoring broken lives is a lot like going to the dentist, right? It's not something that's enjoyable, but it is something that's necessary, right? I had this epiphany sitting in the chair at the dentist's office this week. I was like, this is what I'm talking about at church, you know? And I hate going to the dentist. Is going to the dentist not the worst thing on the planet? I look for every excuse possible to cancel that appointment every 6 months. You know, first of all, they have you write those weird cards to yourself. They have you address the reminder to yourself. I never figured that. I would get these weird cards. I'm like, that's my handwriting. You know? Oh, okay. But going to the dentist is terrible, man. I mean, first of all, they want to talk to you while they're sticking their fingers in your mouth. And I'm always in trouble at the dentist. I've always done something that's not right. I'm not flossing enough. Or this time I was told by the hygienist that I'm not holding the toothbrush at a 45 degree angle to get in between the gum and the teeth. Did you guys know that? Aren't you blessed today? You know? And you're always getting corrected. They're sticking their hands in your mouth. And dentists are making some money, man. It's expensive to go to the dentist. I'm praying God sends us 10 dentists to join our church and get involved in the REACH project, man. Those guys are doing good, man. They're making bank, taking all our money. Telling you what. It's expensive. And then when you get a filling, you know, you get that filling filled and they don't get it right, quite level, you know, with your bite. And you walk around with your head sideways, you know, all day because, your teeth hurt. Something's not right. They start scraping on your teeth. The first thing that they tell you is don't scrape your teeth with any metal objects. But the first thing they do when you sit down, they get out the pick. And they begin to scrape the plaque off the back of your teeth. And you're like, that's disgusting. How could that stuff be there? It's got to be the worst sensation in the world. They polish the teeth with that sandpaper type stuff, you know? Zzz, and your mouth feels all gritty, you know? It's just awful. I hate going to the dentist. And then there's the giving of the shots, you know, when they have to deaden the place, you know, on your mouth where your teeth need to be drilled on. My old doctor was real smooth. You'd be sitting in the chair like this, and he would sneak over and get the needle ready, you know. Be hiding out over here, and he'd be like, okay, open up. Zzz, boom. Before you even knew it, he was jamming that thing down your mouth. My dentist now, he does it all in front of you. It just brings sheer panic and terror. You know, he's like, you know, pulling it out. Hey, did you see the Broncos? Zzz, you know, you're sick. You're like, oh my gosh, he's going to poke me with that thing. It's terrible. Awful. I'm afraid of the dentist, you know. I'm not afraid of a lot of people. I'm afraid of the dentist. But I had a really deep cavity a couple of years ago. And I went through like this 18-month period. I was what we would call in the church backslidden. You know, I didn't go to the dentist for 18 months, right? It was really bad. And this cavity got really deep. And the doctor said, Ryan, if you would have come every 6 months as you were supposed to have, then we would have just drilled it. It would have been a little cavity. But now they had to put a crown on it. You know, one of those really cool porcelain type covers. And they put glue on it and they stick it down. Okay, I got one of those. And I thought, oh my goodness, I wish I would have just gone and done the regular appointments so that I wouldn't have to have this really deep filling that eventually turned into a crown. All that to say, going to the dentist is terrible, but it is necessary. Talking to people who are caught in sin, struggling, is not fun, but it is necessary. In fact, if you enjoy doing that, there's probably something wrong with you. You know, sometimes I meet people that are like, man, I just love to go around and correct people and slap them around, you know, and all that. We should hate it, but we should also see that it's necessary. And in doing so, we will be helpful. Okay, we need to be helpful. The Bible goes on and it says that we should be helpful, but we should also be humble, right? We should do so gently. If you look at verse 1 again, do so gently. In other words, we're not to do so with guns blazing, man. I mean, somebody's struggling and we don't go get out the machetes and the machine guns and, you know, and get in people's face and poking our finger and, you know, all that kind of stuff. No. We do so with the spirit of gentleness. Okay. Now, if you go in and start slapping somebody around, are you going to be helpful really to that person or not? Now you're just going to make them mad. You're just going to offend them. You may push them further away from God's work and God's word than bringing them closer to. So we do so with spiritual maturity. That's a mark of maturity, is the ability to approach people correctly. Okay. We do so humbly. And we also realize that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we might be in the exact same situation. Now, it's easy to sit around and say, oh, I would never do this. I would never go there. I've never had a problem with this. But in the right situation, if you got under the right stress and the right adversity and the right problems, and you know, who knows what you might be into, right? I mean, all of us are weak people. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, and yet he was a killer. He murdered that man. David was a man after God's own heart, but what did he do? He had that adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. We need to be humble. We need to be cautious. We need to be careful. And in doing so, we're going to honor the Lord in that. We're going to be helping people, not hurting people, because we're going to be humble. So we need to be expressing gentleness and humility. Now, be humble and be watchful, the Bible says. The next thing it says, you could fall into the same thing, right? But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And Paul spoke about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 when he said, be careful lest you fall as well. I mean, we could all fall into the same problems if we are not careful. You know, it's kind of like if you're a man and you're talking to another guy and he says, man, I want to leave my wife. She's driving me crazy, man. She whines all the time. She doesn't want to be intimate, you know, drives me crazy, complains. I'm going to leave her. And the guy's sitting there and he's listening to it and he's trying to help this guy. But then he goes, well, you know what? My wife's kind of like that too. Maybe I need to get a divorce, you know. And it can have kind of the adverse effect. If we're not watchful, we can be carried along the same path into some of the same kinds of stuff, right? It's kind of like I was talking with a church member at my last church, you know, several years ago. And he said, Ryan, I'm a sex addict. And I said, wow, you know, we need to talk about that. And he said, yeah, I need you to pray for me. He said, and he had some affairs and had been involved in some different stuff. Well, one day we were talking and he started giving me like the play-by-play, like the minute details of some of the stuff that he was into. And I was a little uncomfortable. I mean, I kind of started to squirm. And I mean, he was telling me stuff I'd never even heard of before, you know. And I was like, whoa. Well, I thought about it afterwards. And I thought, man, that, you know, hearing those thoughts put ideas and thoughts in my head that I had never had before. And I didn't want to have those thoughts. And so I went back to him the next time and I was like, listen, if you're struggling with some temptation, I'd love to pray for you and encourage you in whatever way you can. But I don't need to know all of the details, man. All of the stuff. All of the play-by-play. We'll leave that stuff out. I'll know enough if you tell me I'm struggling with some temptation, right? And so we have to be watchful. We have to be careful. We could be dragged right along into the same scenario, right? We love to believe that we are independent. We love our independence, don't we? But you know, the reality is God created us to be connected to other people too. We have a relationship with God, but we also have a relationship with others. That's the local church. That's why God has given us the body of Christ. You know, in this place, we have some fantastic people here at the Edge Church that love the Lord and would love to pray for you and encourage you in whatever you're going through. We got some great folks, some ministry leaders, some home groups. Man, if you're not involved in a home group, you really, really, really should sign up for a group in January when we have our next session, because you're going to be in relationship. You're going to be doing life with people. And listen, when you're overwhelmed with some burdens, you need to know that somebody's praying for you. You need to know somebody is concerned. Somebody's trying to help. Somebody's watching out for you. Now, we've talked about it in the, you know, Galatians 6:1 in the context of somebody that's fallen into sin. But sometimes we have burdens in life that are just circumstantial. You know, somebody's health goes, you know, south, or a tragedy occurs, or just something happens, and life is difficult, and the burdens of life can be challenging. But listen, when we're following what the scripture says, we're being watchful, we're looking for these opportunities to help other people, and we always reap what we sow. In fact, if you go on and read the latter part of Galatians chapter 6, you reap what you sow. Listen, when you begin to help other people, then other people will begin to help and serve you. It's amazing how all that works, isn't it? So be watchful, the scripture says. We should never celebrate when people fall into some type of trap or confusion or sin. Sometimes it makes us feel a little bit better about our junk, right? When we see other people falling into stuff. But the truth is, we should always, always, always be sad when we see people falling into things. We need to ask, what can we do to help? What can we do to serve? What can we do to bless somebody? What can we do to lift somebody up? Man, it's like going to the dentist. It's painful, but it's necessary. It's difficult, not enjoyable, but it's part of following Christ. Now, how do we respond to this? We've got to be responsible. Okay, we're watchful, making sure we don't get dragged into the same stuff, right? But we're also responsible. What is responsible, Ryan? It's interesting in Galatians chapter 6, there's a contrast. In chapter 6, verse 5, the scripture tells us, for each should carry their own load. So in verse 1, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. In verse 5, it says, each one should carry its own load. What is it, right? What is the Bible saying to us? Is the Bible saying we should carry everyone's load, or is the Bible saying that we should do our own thing? And it's interesting because there's two different words that are used for the word load and burden. A load in verse 5 is like a little burden. You know, that's like putting 5 pounds in your backpack, you know? You're just running along. Yeah, you know, you feel it, but it's not overwhelming. A burden in chapter 6, verse 1 is like a 400-pound gorilla being on your back. It's something you cannot carry. It's something that's massive. It's something that's cataclysmic. You have an addiction that's eating your lunch. Your marriage has fallen apart. You can't find a job and you don't have any money. You know, you're totally, completely depressed. Those are the kind of things. Those are the burdens. The scripture says, listen, when you have a burden, let other people help you with the burden. When you have a load, carry your own load. Now, why is it important for us to put this together? Because people are different extremes. All of us can be different extremes. Some people, and this may be you today, some people are way over here. The world could be coming to an end in your life and you would never ask somebody for help. You know what the Bible calls that? That's pride. Well, I'm not going to burden anybody. I'm not going to share with anybody what's going on in my life, you know? That's pride. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:1 says. Other people are the way other extreme. They have a hangnail, and they expect everybody to come over and to take care of them. Be responsible, the Bible says. If you have a load, carry your own load. Buck up, man. Be a man. Carry your own thing. Be responsible, you know. Quit whining and complaining. But listen, if you have a burden and it's burying you, don't be so prideful to ask for help. That's the difference. Does that make sense? So is it a burden or is it a load? That's the question. Pierce O'Farrell was shot in the Aurora Theater shootings a couple of months ago. He was at the 9 o'clock service. I had him stand up. By the way, Pierce looks great. No sling. He had on a normal shirt. Pierce was looking great. He's got a new girlfriend, by the way, too. He's really feeling good. Pierce was shot 3 times, called me early in the morning, you know, before he's going into surgery. Is that a burden or a load? If you get shot 3 times, that is a burden, right? Our church has been ministering to him, been helping him, been blessing him. That is a burden. Okay. If you have a stomach ache, is that a burden or a load? take some Pepto-Bismol and take a nap, right? I had somebody stop me after the service a few weeks ago. Pastor Ryan, you got to come over to our house right now. We got a huge problem. You got to help us. I was like, oh my goodness. Do I need to leave church? Do we need to cancel the service? What's going on? Do we need to call in the Aurora SWAT team? Does the National Guard need to show up? Do we need to bring the pastors of the church together for prayer? What's going on? And after I got this lady to settle down, I just determined she was just kind of lonely. She just wanted to hang out, you know? Kind of weird. She had a load, but she was trying to make it into a burden. So, we have to work through those things. We got to be responsible. I was talking with somebody earlier, and they were telling me about a relative of theirs that they got to sign up on eHarmony. Evidently, they had a single relative that was really like a single ready to mingle. You know what I'm saying? And the mingling wasn't going so well. So they took to the internet and they went into eHarmony and they filled out a profile. Like 15 million people, man, have signed up for eHarmony.com. Huge thing. We have couples in our church that met on the internet. That's always so amazing to me. Pretty incredible. They filled out the profile with the help of their family member. You know what the profile came back and said? It said, you are one of the 1.5% of all the millions of people that fill this out that has no profile matches. There's nobody for you. There's nobody for you to mingle with, man. There's nobody for you to talk to. Now, is that a burden or is that a load? It's probably a load because there's always match.com and christianmingle.whatever, right? There's always hope, right? You'd be depressed for a little bit if you get that result back. Somebody just thought, man, I am never filling out. I'm never going on eHarmony after hearing that, you know? Yeah, it's probably, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably not cataclysmic, you know? You could put in a request on the connection card if you want to meet somebody special, you know? Try and figure that out for you. And sometimes I'm a good matchmaker, you know? I've introduced some people and sent some people on dates that did get married, you know? Very happy. So you never know. But we need to be responsible. We need to take care of our own stuff if it's little stuff. We need to ask for help if it's big, if it's a big stuff. That's what the Bible's saying there. And so we respond to these things, realizing that God wants to do something amazing in our lives. God wants to liberate us. God wants to set us free. God wants to give us strength and power to break through some of these burdens. But sometimes we just need some help. Sometimes we just need somebody to pray for us. Sometimes we just need to be the person that's reaching out, serving somebody, loving somebody. And doing that, and listen, nobody did that better than Jesus Christ. The Bible says he went to the cross to bear our burdens, to bear our sins, if you will. That's why Jesus died and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel message. Nobody understands the burdens that we feel and experience more than Jesus Christ. That's why he's the Savior of the world. He died on the cross. The third day he rose again from the grave in order that we could have new life, new power, new strength, and new vitality in him. Man, today I would encourage you, if you've never made that commitment of faith to Jesus Christ to really be his disciple and follower, that this morning you would open your heart to him and ask him to come in and to make you a brand new person. Would you just bow your heads just for a moment? Let's bow together for a word of prayer for just a few moments. And man, if you're overwhelmed by some burdens in life, you just need some prayer and encouragement today. Would you just lift your hand today? I want to pray for you. Already at the early service, the first service, okay, right here in the back, thank you. The early service and the second service prayed for tons of people. Ryan, pray for me. I have a burden in my life, man. I'm struggling. I just need some help. I just want to pray for you this morning. God, today I pray for every person that's raised their hand that you would bring comfort and strength and power today. Let them feel your love and hope today. I pray that you would surround them with Christian people that want to support and love and encourage them in every single way. God, we are so grateful and so thankful for what you're going to continue to do here in our lives and at the Edge Church. And we pray all of these things in the wonderful name of the one who gives us life. Amen.